Alright, welcome to Geeks of the Square Table, episode 166. We took last week off as Guardians was out last week.
Yeah, it was.
And I had a lot of free comic book day prep. So, on the subject of free comic book day, what did you pick up?
Picked up the Image one. Picked up the Secret Empire one, which,
I read the Image one. It made me laugh.
The Image one was really good. The Image one was probably the only one that really had its own actual story to tell instead of...
Well, there's also the Star Trek one.
The Star Trek one, too.
That one's starting a new series I'm...
A lot of people are buzzing about
that
one.
That one has made me hyped about the new series, and we're going to sell out of that one. I've already tried to order some more.
Have you?
Or at least I need to. Yeah.
You definitely need to, because that Free Comic Book Day issue definitely sold that book to a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and there's so, like, that's such a beloved franchise.
Yeah, I was like, you seriously?
They could have done so wrong.
That's a pot.
And the other, it seems to be done better than the others out there now. Because there's, of course, there's a series based in the Abramsverse or the Kelbrams.
Can't imagine that sounds very well.
It doesn't. Yeah. Then the other one, which I think is neat from an artistic point of view, but I, as someone who has a degree in photography, think it could be done better, is New Visions.
New Visions.
Which somebody takes, a comic book writer tells new Star Trek stories by taking stills from the show and photoshopping.
Get your world out.
That could be interesting.
So it is. You have they'll take Kirk from one scene, where he has maybe his hand up or something.
Photoshop him into something else.
Yeah, and Photoshop him into, but they'll use all stuff from Star Trek or whatever. Just to tell these new stories instead of drawing. It seems a little, it's better than it being badly drawn, I suppose.
I guess.
Good idea, not the greatest execution. They've done some things where they've used modern day people photos or whatever, and it shows when I've looked through it.
Sure.
Yeah, mainly just like hands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's not enough. I can clearly tell there's stuff is shot under different lights. As a non-photographer, you probably wouldn't notice that, but it would look off.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know why. But I see it, and I'm like, oh, well, they could have color balanced this, and it fixed it. But this one I expect will sell a little better. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, just all the people that I've seen talking about that book, this new Star Trek book since the Free Comic Book Day issue has been, it's been crazy. I mean, Gomer was even in here the other day saying he was going to get it, even though he's not because he didn't put it on his pull list because he's stupid.
Yeah, when?
He already forgot.
So, also...
you're welcome, Travis.
In the culture world, if you're familiar with a game called Magic the Gathering, there is a Pro Tour going on this weekend. And the neat thing is in our fair city. So, it'll be neat. It was closed off, but you can watch the Pro Tour as a spectator now. They do have it open to the public to a degree.
It is an invite-only event. This is an event, basically, where you have to win a tournament to go to another tournament, win that tournament,
and go to another tournament
to be invited. Okay. Or do win, you have to either win a store-level event to win a regional event, or win a regional event. So you win a Grand Prix or win a preliminary Pro Tour qualifier to win a Pro Tour qualifier to get an invite or have done consistently well.
So basically you just have to win a lot of shit and then they'll invite you to this thing. It's only the best of the best. Of the Magic
exactly. Players. And now, and of course... these are all going to be people where they've given away or won lots of money. You know, and the events you have to win the Grand Prix, you have to. They give away $40,000.
Oh wow! Start playing Magic.
Right. So, I think they give away a quarter mil on a Pro Tour.
I almost dropped $200.
Yeah. So, so most of the people that will be playing there either seriously make their living playing Magic
or
professional poker.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, there is a large crossover.
I mean, they're both card games. They both...
Right, they're both very play the odds, you know, read people, and of course here lately they've made the top prizes bigger, whereas it was kind of a more even spread all the way down. They've made the prizes a little more top heavy to get more dramatic showdown, such like that. But it's really neat to see. And of course, there's always like swag and stuff like that.
Always free stuff.
You can go down there and you can buy souvenirs and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
and neat Magic stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And they only do 4 Pro Tours a year. And this is the first time there's ever been one in Nashville.
That's a big deal.
Usually they're in much more exotic locations.
So what are they doing this time? Are they going to do it at the big new convention center? Or
Now, of course, it's more than one day. It's like a 3 or 4 day event.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be if they're doing so many games.
It's all formats. You know, you have to play like a draft and standard and a bunch of different things. I want to say the first day you do 3 rounds of draft and like 6 rounds of standard. And then if you've gotten so far, you go to day 2 and you do it again. And then you can go to day 3 if you've gotten so, if you still have so good of a record. I think you basically, if you get like 3 losses altogether, you're out. You know.
It's gotta suck with that draft. You never know what you're gonna pull with that.
Yeah. But yeah, there's probably gonna be 200 to 300 people there. You know, as far as players. And with it being in Nashville, a lot of people I know are involved in the production where they've hired local crews. So that's pretty cool. So I've been getting interesting behind the scenes photos sent to me from friends. One of our regulars is down there interviewing for his podcast. John Wells, he has a podcast called Eyes on the Mize. And it is a Magic only type podcast that he co-hosts with a guy out of Seattle.
Really?
Yep.
That's quite the distance.
Well, I think they recorded over Skype.
Yeah, the power of the internet.
Speaking of newfangled internet, I'm experimenting with Instagram.
Oh God, that's horrible. I still haven't even touched Instagram yet.
Instagram apparently is the hot new thing.
It's been the hot new thing for the the last minute or so.
And apparently Facebook's for old people, according to the youngins these days. Yeah, that's what the youngins on my lawn were saying when I was yelling at them. They told me to shut up and go to Facebook. And
well,
I was
all
like,
you
what?
Old people invaded Facebook. I mean, I remember back in the day where, you know, all it was just a bunch of teenagers, you know, getting in trouble.
My grandmother had a Facebook account.
I know, that's the problem with Facebook. Everybody's grandmother has a Facebook.
I have a collection of friends that are no longer with us anymore on Facebook.
Actually, the majority of Facebook accounts in the near future will be more dead people than alive people, because they don't turn them off when people die.
Right. So eventually they'll cross that point.
They will. Yeah, it's happening soon.
And of course, I've got one friend that he will be staying in a government-ran recreational facility. He has struck out in California, shall we say. And so I'm wondering, if he'll ever have, but, you know, somebody posted on his Facebook page, you can write to him here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
well, you do have access to the internet when you're in one of those pleasant places. You just don't have it often, but you can get the internet.
So, yeah, and of course, and for those of you who don't know, we're nowhere near California. We're in Nashville. I'd be surprised if there's anybody listening to this that doesn't actually already know that, but yeah. I went back and listened to the original one not too long ago, and yeah, it was kind of awkward, but funny.
Why was it awkward?
No, it was just it just sounded awkward.
Oh, okay. I wasn't even around for that.
No. It was me, Jules, Gomer, there was Christian, and a bunch of other. He's in baby jail.
He's in baby jail?
Baby jail.
That'll do it.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened to him. I was also going to say, other gaming news, Star Wars Destiny put out a new set. It's been blown up really big. In industry terms, it's what they call unobtainium. Yes, product unobtainium, a product where they do not print enough.
So you cannot obtain it.
Yeah.
So it's like the Nintendo Switch, you know, they can't make enough of it. It's always so loud.
And, and then of course, we've been locally having to pick up with the Final Fantasy trading card game.
I didn't notice you had packs over there up there. That looked interesting.
And that's another unobtainium product. They have one distributor, and when I ordered their first wave of product, I barely got in. And supposedly I took the last of their. I was like, I'll take it all. Just whatever you got. And yeah. But they have another new wave that just came out, and you know, they're starting to build up steam, but if they can't get more decks, more starter decks out there,
definitely.
Know, people
gotta have starter decks, and
yeah,
do they have booster packs? Or
they do. They have two sets.
Okay.
That have been out so far, and supposed to have some more decks coming out. That's the problem with a lot of these startup card games. If it's not successful, nobody wants to carry it. If it's too successful, you can't get enough start. They can't get enough out there fast enough to get it going. They can't feed the fire fast enough.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. And of course, 8th edition Warhammer will be coming out soon. It won't tell us when.
It won't tell you when, but it'll come out soon.
Yeah, officially they have not released a date. But they've been spoiling little tidbits. Oh, this is how this is going to work. This is how that's going to work. That's been real exciting in the gaming world. At least in the Warhammer gaming world.
Which is what we're in the middle of right now.
Right. A mad jungle of people playing with plastic army men. There's definitely a lot of neat new models they've been putting out here lately. That's one of the great things about Warhammer. Even if you don't play the game, the models are awesome. Yeah.
Warhammer's always really interested in me. Warhammer's expensive.
It is, but it's gotten a lot cheaper.
Has it?
Yeah, they've definitely... They've put together... It's more... And more bundles and stuff to bring prices down and everything. Like, where... And they've actually been going through and systematically lowering their prices on a lot of their models. And, of course, they have to keep up. There's a lot of other miniature games out there now.
There are, yeah. You have a couple around here.
They've got a new CEO that's been, encouraging them to be more, player-friendly and price-friendly. Yeah.
Makes sense, you know.
Well, I mean, they were priced like it was just this luxury product, you know. And it wasn't a point where, you could, buy a kit, take it home, recast it, and double your money selling a cast... and still sell it for less than what the new kit off the. And that's not. That's.
The boat's still sailing.
Yeah, it's one thing to say that there is some intellectual property and there's some art to it. Yes. These are hand molded, but the newer stuff is 3D molded or 3D designed.
Especially, I work in a restaurant, like,
and so while you personally can do it, there's, of course, a bunch of people from China doing it. Just in mass.
They smell like delicious and amazing.
So,
because I love them.
When they thin out the margins a little bit, they make that a little less desirable market, but. And really, the players don't mind buying the things. They don't mind paying for them. But there's one point when they see another company doing the same type of thing for half the price. They're like, how can they be profitable and do not, at this price point? Yeah, so... So they've kind of course-corrected a lot with that. Yeah. Of course, we've been doing the new game Infinity. It's not a new game. We've been pushing it a little more here, out of some interest and everything. And it's a smaller squad combat type game.
But if you want, we can bring another board out. We got.
Yeah.
We need to bring out another board, really? Oh, my God, can I take a picture?
No, I don't think so.
Please!
I mean, how long?
Oh, man.
They're about done.
Yeah. We've got five boards going on.
That's crazy.
I haven't seen 5 boards
be
played. I don't know how many
years.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Even if
it's
soft, I know.
I know, it's beautiful. Yeah,
that's
a lot of Warhammer going on.
That is a lot of Warhammer going on.
Thank you for the caveat of with this.
People keep walking in with boxes. That's great.
Well, and that's great. That's how you build the community. Yeah.
Where? It's like.
So, what have you been reading here lately? Anyway.
What have I been reading? Mostly I've been reading a lot of DC stuff. I mean, my Marvel pools have slowly been dropping down lately.
you know, people have gotten some hype over the new X-Men, but there's not a lot of Marvel
they're racist.
Love.
No, there hasn't been really a lot of Marvel love lately, and I mean, I wish I had some to give them, but I really don't. I've been reading a lot of DC. Rebirth has still been pretty solid so far.
It seems like its sales are cooling a little bit, though.
Well, probably. I mean,
the new hype.
The hype
is
gone. Yeah, the new car smell is gone.
Yeah.
And so you're probably getting about around whoever's going to actually buy the book from now on, you know. But I mean, all the stories I've been reading from Rebirth are still—they've still been pretty solid. I still have really no complaints for the most part. Wonder Woman's been a little disappointing, but it hasn't been bad. So,
are they on one storyline now?
God no, they're not. They won't be. They won't be until one storyline until issue 25, and that's Rucka's last issue on the book. So,
and Joe and I both witnessed that.
Are they gonna combine those with the button somehow?
I hope not. The button's actually been really good, though.
Actually, it's really been selling like crazy.
I really enjoy the button.
Yeah,
it's been selling like crazy, and people have been loving it, and then Secret Empire people are just shitting all over that book. It's a fine book, though. I mean,
do you think it's just people are still kind of mad at the Hydra cap thing?
Yeah, people are mad at the idea of the book, not necessarily what's actually in the book.
Yeah, and it's not getting a fair shake.
Yeah.
No, because I mean, I have heard people say that they actually enjoy the book. But then, yeah, I've heard a lot more people say, "Oh yeah, my cap's not a Nazi."
Exactly, my cap's not a Nazi, and he totally is a Nazi.
Yeah. Hashtag not my cap.
For everybody who's saying he's Hydra, he's not a Nazi, he's a fucking Nazi. I mean, he has rounded up all the Inhumans and he's putting them into camps. That's about as Nazi as you get.
Yeah.
And they killed poor Rick Jones by firing squad.
Well, the argument for Cap not being a Nazi that I've heard is that Hydra predates the Nazis.
Yes.
So it's like, no, that's worse. He's worse than a Nazi.
Did you hear that thing on Free Comic Book Day where a lot of people started burning their issues of Secret Empire in protest because Cap's a Nazi? But it's like, you're burning books.
Right? yes. Because there's nothing,
nothing ironic about that at all.
Yeah. Damn those Nazis and their free expression.
Oh, man. You saw Guardians this weekend. What did you think of that?
You know, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the first one. I'd been avoiding a lot of the trailers and stuff. So I didn't have a huge expectation of what I was going into. But it didn't have the same wow factor that the original did. And, you know, I wouldn't expect it to. It being a sequel, what can you expect? But overall, I give it a B+.
Sounds like most Marvel movies.
You know, I mean, I'd give the original one an A+. Now, even rewatching it, I still enjoy it. This one, a little less.
Yeah, I've heard the the big problem with the second one is that there's a lot of forced jokes and callbacks to the first movie.
Right. There very much is a lot of that.
And see, what made the first movie so great is everything sort of felt very organic.
Right. And this definitely has some issues with it. No spoilers, there's definitely a few scenes where they take, oh, you like this in the first one, here, let me shove more of it in your face there. And I felt that way for the first 15-20 minutes. That was all just, here's what you loved in the first movie. That being said, the plot itself seemed a little forced. The plot of the overall plot of them, trying to say this without spoilers, this problem arising and them solving it. But the setup of the problem arising is they get into trouble,
and so
this problem arises, and so them getting into trouble is just real ham-handed. Oh, here's them getting in trouble because they're yelling at each other. That being said, I definitely enjoyed it. Glad I saw it, and it was worth the money to go see.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did see it in 3D. I enjoyed it in 3D.
Crossbowman.
Not. Oh no. Not the best movie I've seen in 3D, but it was still pretty good.
It's got a lot of space battles in it, so I've.
Right, and so. Oh no. When a movie is shot in 3D and they limit the special effects or whatever, and then there's a lot of practical and stuff like that, it seems to feel natural. There's a couple of the special effects big battle scenes where it seemed a little, the 3D, no pun intended, fell a little flat. And then a couple where but there were some that was really good. There was a couple instances where I could say, well, it is a Disney movie. And that's it. There was a scene where there were criminals in a whorehouse. They applied this seemed to be now of course they never really they said anything about that. It's like, well, I guess now this is pretty brazen for a Disney movie, but them having to play around that in certain elements made it seem a little unnatural.
This is that kind of thing.
But at the same time, like that whole scene there was irrelevant. Or at least
the bases are going to be swamped and water.
Yeah, it was only relevant to force other unnecessary characters in there.
Areas to be wet.
I'm about to start giving spoilers, so if you don't want any spoilers, please go ahead and just turn it off.
I'll turn it off. Still forward like 10 minutes.
So,
but yes,
Sylvester Stallone's character is totally useless to the plot, really.
Well, he's just there to be Sylvester Stallone,
right? And he's very in your face. He plays one of the Ravagers.
He plays like Starhawk.
He's the main Ravager captain.
Yeah,
and he's just like, it's very much. Sylvester Stallone is one of those people that's always going to be Rocky. It's just, he's always going to be that one character. This isn't that character. It didn't feel right. It was a bad casting. But I think he wanted to be in it, and they really, he seems he's very pushed out in front. Yeah. More so than he needs to be. Weird cameo, Miley Cyrus.
Really?
Yes. She voices one of the other Ravengers.
Yeah.
Now,
well, I heard most of that Ravenger crew is really just the original Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah, from back in the day. You know, just...
Yeah, they're all... They made them all Ravenger captains, pretty much. And she's one of those.
That's weird.
And it's a robot, you know, so she's
so,
just
yeah,
a voice.
She's just a voice.
And the funny thing is the robot looks like an old Cyberman from Doctor Who. Yeah. Or I shouldn't say an old Cyberman. 2005 era Cyberman. Yeah. And if you were to tell me they took one of those props and used it, it wouldn't surprise me.
They probably did.
Well, they're different houses, so who knows. Yeah, and... So the opening scene, there's a big fight scene with them and some alien monster, and you have baby Groot dancing through the trailer, you know, and it's like, okay.
Everybody loves some dancing Groot.
But it's 10 minutes of dancing baby Groot with them fighting in the background. It was one joke that could have been a 5-minute fight scene, and they could have done this huge awesome fight scene. But they were trying, instead of having the Star-Lord singing into the space rat, whatever, they had Baby Groot dancing throughout this, big battle. And the problem with that wasn't that he was dancing through the battle, is that he kept interacting with other people trying to fight. So every 5 minutes they'd go, no, shoot, get out of here. You're going to get hurt or da-da-da-da, whatever. It just it broke up the flow and killed the joke, you know. Because the joke was he was just dancing through it and going to be fine no matter what, of course. A, they can't kill Groot because apparently he's immortal. You know, he has the Wolverine healing factor.
So he just comes back as a baby.
And apparently he grows really fast because he's baby Groot. And at the end of the movie he's teenager Groot.
Oh,
and apparently in the next movie he's going to be back being adult Groot.
Teenager Groot.
Yeah, so...
He's going to start experimenting with drugs soon. They better watch out.
Yeah. His leaves are going to get all smoky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah. So there were a couple of scenes that were a little too ham-handed with the jokes, but... It was still worth it.
Yeah. So it was forced, but it was still pretty good.
Yeah. But definitely step down from the first.
Well, that's honestly par for the course for most Marvel movies, both the sequels, with the exception of really the Captain America movies, are not that great compared to the first one.
See, and I really liked the first Captain America. Maybe because it was set in such, a different tone
than
the other.
Yeah, it was a very different movie than the rest of the Marvel movies when it came out. Definitely.
And it does seem to be like the it thing to be in a Marvel movie nowadays.
Yeah.
At least as a cameo.
That gets your face out there.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you saw Sylvester Stallone other than one of those Expendable movies?
Yeah. There was like Rocky 13 or something not too long ago.
Oh, that Creed movie? That was actually a good movie. But then again, he was just Rocky in that one too, so hey.
Yeah, I mean,
I heard he was making another Rambo movie.
It's Rocky with guns.
It's Rocky with guns. But I mean,
to shoot him with some cans.
I don't know. That last Rambo movie he did, he was looking pretty old. Wow.
Yeah.
That was like a decade ago at this point. I don't know.
Corbin's doing
he didn't look too old in Guardians, but I'm sure there was a lot of movie magic on it.
Probably.
And on the subject of Sylvester Stallone, I watched somewhere that people got mad because Judge Dredd, when he did that movie, takes off his helmet. Yeah, and most of the movie you see his face.
Yeah, he doesn't have a helmet on for the entire movie.
And of course, that's big. According to Judge Dredd, because he never takes his helmet off. Yeah, apparently that was Sylvester Stallone forcing them to let him show his face.
Yeah, so he's the star, you gotta see his face.
Yeah, apparently he had some sort of contractual obligation that he wouldn't do the movie if they covered his face through most of it.
Does it still do the big monster thing where it loses like abilities that go take
over? Makes sense. I mean, he was in his prime when that movie came out, so.
Yeah, but that's definitely a classic example of only go see a comic book movie that you're not a fan of the comic book. Because if you've never read the comic, it's an alright movie.
It's fine. I mean, it's a B-grade 90s right. action movie, you know, so.
Yeah, no Demolition Man, but yeah.
Yeah.
When he takes damage?
No. Comic news. Big Death in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I heard about this. And he even put an apology at the end of his book, too.
Right, that was crazy. And it was a thicker book.
Yeah.
Kicking off the newest story arc. I think that's probably the last character that's been around since issue 2. Except for Carl.
Except for Carl. Maybe.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
One spell.
Yeah, maybe it was issue 3. I can't remember.
I think it was 2.
Yeah, because I think they met Clan, and then he takes it at the end. He sees the campground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, other than Rick and Carl, which are pretty much bulletproof, well, Carl clearly isn't bulletproof, but...
when he does have a little bit of plot armor, for a little bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't have as much as Rick, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think after that, it's Michelle. Who's been around since issue 19.
He's been around for a while, too, yeah.
So yeah, everybody else is dead, I think. Yeah.
Is Maggie still alive?
Yeah. What's he doing?
I guess it would be Maggie. Because Maggie, she came in, I think issue 13 or so. Or no, well...
And
maybe, but
what was the name of Carol's kid?
The smoke of
her daughter,
Sophia. She's around. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Surprise for those of you who've never read the comics. She's still alive and well.
She's still alive in the comics. She disappears. No, she's not around a lot, but I mean, she doesn't disappear half a season.
And Carol, talk about a character they couldn't have done a bigger swap.
Oh, I know, right?
Carol is a badass in the TV show, and she is. Her daughter is a more important character in the comic. So that's an interesting comparison. I'm actually happy with the show because they're bringing new groups in that aren't in the comics.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I always like it when that show deviates from the comics.
Right.
And lately they've been sticking to it a lot.
Right. This last season they've started deviating again. And that's good. While I still think it's going to end up probably about the same way. But how it gets there, there's more players involved. And next season will be the all-out war. But there's two groups that have, are not in the comics that have been introduced.
It's crazy that they've already caught up to All Out War.
Well, All Out War will be next season.
Yeah, but even then, that's... When did All Out War happen? That didn't happen that long ago.
I think that was... let's see, that was issue 30? 130 or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And they're double shipping those, too.
Right, they did double ship that.
Still understand.
I think it was a couple of years back.
Maybe about 2 years ago. But still, I... 130.
This is the point when we start talking like this that Gomer's yelling at the screen at home.
I don't care. I like making Gomer yell. It's like when I made Taylor yell the other week. You know?
Oh, that's fantastic.
I make Gomer yell every other week anyway when we talk Transformers.
Oh,
so.
Man. Which, we got one of our Warhammer players is painting his army with an Optimus Prime theme.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. Jaina stepped on her dress. Optimus Prime is a vicious, evil dictator, you know, trying to enslave the entire world, but it's okay. It's a cool thing to have on your
Oh, yeah, I completely had no idea.
Well, the Warhammer fluff is the world's fuck anyway. It's pretty much. Yeah. So,
I'm really drunk. We were just supposed to talk what the preacher said.
Because it's a fantasy setting game. The Earth has been destroyed.
So we didn't have anyone. So her dad just took a ordained on the internet.
Yeah, and there are chunks of Earth floating throughout the galaxy.
Are people just like living on these chunks of Earth?
Well, it like apparently ripped the dimension apart, and so like when the little dimension
broke
like,
the space time continuum.
Right, so there's like these weird like wormholes from like chunk to chunk and stuff. Oh no, Travis could tell you all about the backstory of why Warhammer is in some weird fucked universe. Pardon my French, but Taylor's not here, so somebody's got to say it.
Somebody's got to say it, yeah.
We were talking about how Warhammer, the fluff is pretty much the world is fucked.
Yeah, it's...
In Age of Sigmar, they've blown up the world.
Yeah, Chaos One blew up the world. So now there's, like, pocket realities that people are trying to survive in.
The fabrics of space-time. There's chunks of reality floating through the multiverse.
Cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, I'm like... nine hours
the Twinkie size of a school bus?
Yep.
Something like that?
Something like that.
I always love the ridiculous little backstories, the games and stuff like that.
Right, and it's really, they come up with some crazy stuff.
They do. I like listening to whenever people talk about the backstories behind Magic, you know.
Right, there's some cases where they clearly design the game first.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here's some fluff to fill in. the Magic Kaladesh set, that was designed by mechanics and how they wanted the cards to work and stuff like that, and then they filled in the story. Whereas Amon Kent, I think they have a little more story in mind.
Much more story-driven.
Yeah.
That's why I played 40K for 20 plus years now. It's the backstory more than anything.
Yeah, that's true. The backstory?
Yeah. The whole world itself and the fiction that goes along with it. Because, man, it's grim, it's dark, life sucks, and you'll probably get eaten by Tyranids. But.
For those of you who are not Warhammer geeks, Tyranid or Zerg. I mean that literally, that the Zerg were designed as. Originally, StarCraft was designed as Warcraft 40K RTS. and Games Workshop, in their infinite wisdom, decided that it wasn't a good idea.
Let's not do that.
No.
So they reskinned it. They called them Zerg. Now everybody in the world knows what a Zerg Rush is, but you ask them what a Tyranid is, they look you up like you're crazy.
If you ever want to know the lore of 40K, there's a video on YouTube called 40K in a Flash. Watch that. It's about a minute 30. That's the basis. That's all you need to know.
And what does it say?
Life sucks, and you'll probably get eaten by Tyranids.
See, if there was ever a bumper sticker, there you go. You need that. Life sucks, and you're probably going to get eaten by Tyranids. Well, Neil, let's say, did you maggots want to live forever anyway?
Yeah.
Well, have you been reading the Buds?
I have been reading the Buds. It's great. You know, the first Batman issue was a really good Watchmen, you know, homage to it. Had the nine-panel layout and everything. The Flash issue was not a Watchmen homage, but it tied in with Flashpoint. It had a nice little meet-up between Flashpoint Batman and normal Batman, you know?
Is that the one where they did the cover, the Wally West of Two Worlds parody cover?
Maybe, they might have, I don't know. Okay, the only thing I don't like about the button is the damn particular colors.
Yeah, those really hurt.
I know, and they're not like the good lenticular covers either. Like, you can still see both images when you're looking at it straight on.
I'm just glad it's not like the Villains Month, where you had an entire wall of lenticulars. Oh,
that was awful.
Yeah. Just walk in, people are like,
I'll just grab something, but whatever I grab is what I'll read.
Yeah. Please just put them away. They're hurting me.
Yeah. Just rip the covers off of all of them.
Yeah. And they did actually, those were actually better done. Yeah. But the only thing I do actually like is it seems like there's some neat ads that are always lenticular ads.
Well, the only ad that they had that I've seen so far was for a
this is the Sylvanas spell that says
DC animated movie. And it really just looked like it was in 3D. It didn't really.
I saw they had one for Conan, the late night talk show host Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like one he was standing there, and the other one they had a cape fluttering in the wind. Yeah. You know?
Well, when was this?
That was on the very first book.
Oh.
Like cape fluttering in the wind. Maybe it was the first Flash part of it.
Part two or whatever.
I don't know. But we were talking game story. Almond Cat, Egyptian theme, the current magic set.
We didn't
want
to lean over the table.
It's a really fun set, but people have they've got a cat got special product fatigue, which is something that definitely happens in the comic world too. You know,
it does.
The equivalent of tie-in or event or reboot fatigue. Yeah.
That's huge right now in the comic world. Stop doing that for a while. Like, you know, event fatigue is always a problem. And now we're getting into reboot fatigue. Marvel has a big problem with reboot fatigue. I mean, they don't actually reboot their stuff, but they relaunch it.
Yeah, 60 crews are blocking.
It's always, we're relaunching with a new title on everything. Because we're changing the character's outfit.
Usually it's because a new writer comes on and they kind of relaunch it then. But then half the time there isn't a new writer, they just relaunch it because it's an event just happened, and now since the event's gone, we have to renumber everything.
If your opponent gives you, like, talk about this. At any point when you have multiple number ones, you've done something wrong.
I had that one of those rules in, like, some of the high-level battalions.
Yeah.
If your face straight, you get plus one to your...
There are, like, three books last year that had two number ones.
I know Squirrel Girl had two number ones. I think Howard the Duck had two number ones.
And Deadpool.
Did Deadpool have two number ones?
It might not have been last year, but they did do it. There was a year when. I want to say it was.
Sword
Master.
We hit first.
But yeah, definitely Howard. Deadpool has to be number one.
those are different books, though. Like the Deadpool proper book, actually. As far as a Marvel book goes, it actually lasts pretty long. Because I think the last volume before this one got up into the 40s. Yeah, that's a long time for a Marvel book. If you get past 25, you're lucky.
Then I will let you set up first because I will still...
Well, yeah, if you get past 12, you're lucky. Plus, it's hope that they. But, we'll see. They definitely said they're going to chill with the events for a while, but. Yeah, for like a year and a half.
They said 18 months.
Is that going to be from the time they started Secret Events? Or here's from the end of Secret Events?
Empire? Well, here's the thing, is they already are advertising, Generations, which I don't know what to call that if not an event.
Right. It's
coming up in a couple months. So I don't know what qualifies as an event for Marvel.
Right, I mean, the only thing as far as an event goes, that I don't think they don't seem to be super interconnected. Not like the button where, you have it goes over two books. Or Secret Empire, where there's five other tie-in events. It just seems like they're relaunching all these books with the generations, but I don't know. Yeah. And you don't know. And Marvel doesn't know. They'll adjust the definition as needed.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
They are right there.
It's, they live in their own reality. Yeah.
Obviously. They obviously do.
There's like 10, and if they're within 1 inch of each other at the end of the movie.
A lot of crazy politics going on. Not that. Just remind me to talk about living in our own reality. So we'll see. I'm curious to see, legitimately, to see what happens. It's the state of politics without going into details. It's so crazy right now. It's just like you're watching some bad movie.
And then you realize that bad movie is your life.
Right. And our country is the girl you're just yelling at. Bitch, get out of the basement. They're going to kill y'all. Run. Now I'm depressed.
That's okay. Have another Red Bull. We'll be fine.
Right?
Yeah.
Red Bull is one of my easier distributors to work with.
I can tell because you have a shit ton of them.
Well, they don't care if I put other stuff in their cooler. Well, and I have a bunch of different flavors. They give me a decent price. I can call them and say, hey, I need some Red Bull. And they're like, okay, we're there. I can't go to Walmart and buy them cheaper there, than I'm buying them from Red Bull. Unlike, say, a large Atlanta-based soda company. And they just gave me coolers. They're like, here, take a cooler. You want this cooler? Here, take this one too. You don't want it? We'll take it back. If not, whatever.
Whatever.
And I like Coke, where it's like, give us this cooler back, or we'll come cut you. You know, it's like, sheesh.
We'll come cut you and your family.
Crazy political stuff. You're talking X-Men Gold, of course, a while back. We're about to start seeing issues that weren't drawn by Sadiq.
It's like
The former artist. Who'd they get to take over?
I don't know. I don't read the X-Men. It's Gomer's thing. I know that that one guy drew the first three issues.
Right.
So yeah, we're definitely moving on. They just reprinted the first issue, so I wonder if they had to have taken all that stuff out.
Supposedly they already took it out of the digital stuff like that weekend.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything about it, so Marvel must have poured over the other two issues.
I'm sure they did. Just to be a little more cautious. But realistically, if he would have snuck anything else in there, he probably would have been bragging about it too. At least now that they've come out.
Andrew!
And it's just weird that he bragged about it and just pretty much threw away his job like that.
Got cocky. Thought he got away with it. It's hard to get away with things in the internet age, though.
Everything's so instant. There was a big cheating scandal a while back. And the higher level plays, and what people were busted cheating because they started doing high def live streaming, and people were watching online, and they could do basically instant replays because they could back up the stream a little bit, and there were people getting busted online, and because Magic would do live tweets.
How are they cheating?
Card handling.
Okay.
Essentially, slipping cards off top of the deck, shuffling. That was the big thing that was going around. They would sit there, they'd talk to their opponent, get eye contact, and they'd shuffle, and they'd glance down at the deck in their hand, and they'd flip up and look to see whether it was a land or a non-land. So they could load people's hand one way or the other and force them to mull. And that way they'd start out at a disadvantage with less cards. And a couple other things. So a few players got busted. Big players got busted doing that.
If they're making $40,000 for
a weekend. And then of course, judges have access to that kind of on the spot instant replay type thing. So it's interesting. Everybody finds a way to adapt. Now that I've been rambling for an hour. Now, I'm curious to hear what everybody else thinks about free comic book day books and stuff like that, and see how, if that shakes anything up. They definitely started launching a lot of new titles from Marvel. Let's see if these stick. It seems like all the original X-Men are going to have their own book or something.
A lot of X-Men are having their own book. Iceman has his own book. Jean Grey has her own book. Cable has his own book.
Yeah,
there's no way all of those stick.
Yeah. But they'll sell a few for a while.
Those number ones will sell. That's all that matters, right?
Right. As far as Marvel's concerned, the comic book stores already bought them, so they're good. They're gold. Any final thoughts?
We are recording an issue of Construction this weekend. Just so you guys know, we took the last time off. We also do these now every other weekend now. We don't do them every week. Just because IDW just put out enough books for us to do it every week.
That makes sense.
If they were more consistent with how they put out their books, we probably could do it every week, but, plus, we were also doing the Outright Geekery Super Fun Time Explosion Show, which I am the current reigning champion of, and I'm undefeated. So, check that out, too.
Champion? Is it a
they do a stupid list game on there where I have to guess what's on this list, and apparently I'm a much better guesser than David and Taylor, who are both really, really terrible. I know.
So whatever happened to the Star Trek podcast?
You know, once I figure out if Jules is still alive, we'll figure out what's going on with that Star Trek.
in a week, of course, me and the missus, we've watched all through all the original or Enterprise.
Yeah.
Now we're on to the original series.
So you guys should do the Star Trek podcast.
The annoying thing about this is, so I'm trying to watch them in chronological order of how they take place, but so in the original series they just made up random star dates.
Yeah.
Now, so they're nohow in the order that they aired. Like, that is not the order in which they aired. It'd be like Stardate 123 Pi Alpha Omega.
Whatever.
What's that chick's number? Gamma Delta.
Whatever two. William Shatner came up with that day.
Exactly. So. We bought a set of them on DVD, and they had the original unaired pilot or whatever, the cage or whatever, the graphics on that were hard. It was just really good. But, we've been doing this, the remastered with the new graphics. They're okay once we've gotten into the regular after the season episodes. They've been doing it. It's watchable.
Wait, so do they put like actual CGI in there or something? That sounds terrible. That sounds like a bad George Lucas.
It is to a degree.
Because part of the fun of watching those old shows is watching the old animation and stuff.
But they did it in such a way to where it's not.
I did not realize that.
It did. If we're reading that correctly, I don't. Shave off a little of the cheese, but it fits in pretty well. You know, it's still the same. I can't see the strings on the Enterprise anymore, but it's still the same Enterprise.
It's not in your face with it.
Right. I mean, clearly, clearly it's CG and all this space. But really, the only thing they really did CG was the outside spaceships. You still had all the, like, some of the display panels, where they're actually, back in the day, they used to just have slide projectors. They've actually just laid those in, so. But they, they don't really stand out. The only one that really, only time it really seems to stand out is when they're looking at something on the view screen. It kind of stands out around the edge. Because the view screen is clearly CG, and they just kind of laid it in. But it was that way anyway. So they essentially, the view screens are never there. Never computers or whatever. So, I don't know. We're watching the first few episodes, so they don't have all the familiar faces. Like, Chekhov still hasn't made it onto the crew yet. Where's Chekhov? It's been neat. Someone who grew up on next gen.
He's a big guy.
And the missus hasn't really seen him, so. And the last time I sat down and watched him with any kind of regularity, it was pre next gen.
Two moons.
But anyway, overall, I think Free Comic Book Day was a success. I think people had fun.
I enjoyed it.
We've been trying to refocus on getting our events paid and social media going and staying current and everything. I was thinking on actually posting the earlier episodes on YouTube.
Couldn't hurt,
So keep an eye out for those. We have a YouTube channel, y'all.
He was talking about Facebook Live earlier, so we might be able to see ugly faces soon.
And I didn't see a go live button. Maybe I'm missing it, but or maybe you got a camera hooked up.
Maybe it's got an age limit.
One of the earliest references to a video phone was in a Charlie Chaplin movie. Somebody was talking about science fiction and science fact or whatever, how they're connected. And it was a comedy or whatever, take place in the future or something. And it was a warehouse or a factory job. There's a video phone or video monitor in the bathroom where the boss can come in and yell at people to get back to work. Or maybe it was the break room, which would make more sense. But anyway, you can always check us out. I've been your host, Lawrence of America. With me today, it's been Adam Normal. And come find us on facebook.com/outright/comicsa2 or outrightindustry.com or comicsa2.com or find us on YouTube, Twitter, and now Instagram at Comic City 2. This has been Geeks of the Square Table, episode 67.
And Adelaide.
Two wounds remaining. Aquaman's got sharks, yo. Never trust Van Cake.
Never trust Van Cake.
All right.